Our Old Testament reading is taken from Psalms, chapter 8, and our New Testament reading is from the book of Hebrews, chapter 1, verses 1 to 4, and chapter 2, verses 5 to 12. Psalm 8. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory in the heavens. Through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings that you care for them. You have made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. You made them rulers over the works of your hands. You put everything under their feet, all flocks and herds and the animals of the wild, the birds in the sky and the fish in the sea, all that swim the paths of the sea. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. And then turning to Hebrews. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty in heaven. So he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. It is not to angels that he has subjected the world to come, about which we are speaking. But there is a place where someone has testified, "What is mankind that you are mindful of them, a son of man that you care for him? You made them a little lower than the angels, you crowned them with glory and honor, and put everything under their feet." In putting everything under them, God left nothing that is not subject to them. Yet at present, we do not see everything subject to them, but we do see Jesus, who was made lower than the angels for a little while, now crowned with glory and honor, because he suffered death, so that by the grace of God, he might taste death for everyone. In bringing many sons and daughters to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through what he had suffered. Both the one who makes people holy and those who are made holy are of the same family. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters. He says, "I will declare your name to my brothers and sisters. in the assembly, I will sing your praises. Amen.
Good morning, and it's lovely to be in Sydenham this morning with you and to share God's word and to reflect upon it. On the morning I sat down to write this sermon, I had just finished a video call to my friend Suzanne. Why a video call, you're going to ask, when she lives 5 minutes away from me? Well, that day we were to walk and we were to meet face to face. But the weather was awful, so we couldn't have that person-to-person meeting. A text would have given me an update on some of her news, and an email might have told me a little bit more. A telephone call might have given me greater clues as to how she really was when I heard the tone of her voice. And a photograph might have allowed me to see her and see if she looked well and happy. But on that day, a video call was the best that we could do for a face-to-face conversation. Over the last 2 years and many months of lockdown, particularly during the winter months, technology has been used in very creative ways. Zoom, Google Meets, WhatsApp, telephone, they've all helped us to stay in touch with one another and to value one another's company and friendship. They were, and they still are, very useful ways of staying connected, of telling someone they are not forgotten. And whilst these means are useful, I think we've realised more than ever that the face-to-face encounter, the smile on someone's face, the tone of their voice, all tell me so much more than a text could, typed words could, or a photograph could. The face-to-face at our level, in real time, the personal touch, that's what we value. The first of the lectionary readings this morning was from Genesis chapter 2, and it recounts the creation of woman. Rereading the creation of human beings reminds us clearly that it was God's desire and his plan to establish a relationship between human beings and himself. Our God is a relational God. From the beginning, it was God who would institute this type of relationship with ancient Israel when he said, "I will walk among you, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people." Leviticus chapter 26, verse 12. And when he sent Moses to speak to Pharaoh, Moses, being very reluctant, quickly retorted, "Well, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" God's response to Moses, "I will be with you." In Alec Mateer's Bible Speaks Today commentary on Exodus and speaking about Moses, he captures God's patience beautifully when he says, "God bothered with Moses, and that in itself is a marvelous truth." God's great desire to associate with, to have a relationship with, those who accept him as God. In the New Testament, we read from Hebrews chapters 1 and 2, and a section from Psalm 8, which is also quoted again there. Psalm 8, written by David. We can imagine David, the shepherd boy, lying on the hillsides, looking up at the skies, being awestruck by the vastness and the beauty of creation, and penning these words. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him? The Son of Man that you care for him. Tim Keller, in his devotional on the Psalms, My Rock, My Refuge, commenting on this verse, simply says, our astonishment should be that of the psalmist. Why would God be interested in, let alone care, for humankind? In the enormity of creation, man may be tiny. Tiny, but not insignificant. We are created, Hebrews tells us, just a little lower than the angels. We bear the imprint of God. We are made in God's image, as our children's talk reminded us so much about. And here we see the purpose of creation, the creation of humankind. God is building a family, his own family, and he created us. He created us so that we can have that special father-child relationship with him. God wants an eternal relationship with us as his children. And this is just an aside. It's funny how hymns, old hymns, plant deep within us really strong doctrinal truths. Think of Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven, as it comes to my mind as we speak. And the words that say, Father-like, he tends and spares us. Well, our feeble frame he knows. In his arms he gently bears us, rescues us from all our foes. That's the relational God that we have. We thought at the beginning of the message about the means and ways we stay connected with others. Well, the beginning of the Hebrews passage started with those very words, because God himself used many means to communicate with his people. Throughout the Old Testament, God's message of forgiveness came through many prophets belonging to different historical contexts. The first four verses in the book of Hebrews summarize these ongoing communications when it says, in the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. The Old Testament reminds us, God spoke. God spoke to Isaiah in visions, to Jacob in a dream, to Abraham and Moses personally. And in his love, God still speaks. He's begging his people to listen to his voice. Eternal issues are at stake. Through his living word, God has and still does speak. However, to close the communication gap between a holy God and humans, God came himself in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ, as a human, one like his people, a human of flesh and blood, one who would become hungry and tired and thirsty, one who would suffer, be rejected, suffer betrayal. In the second chapter of Hebrews, it says that Jesus was made perfect through his sufferings. That doesn't mean he had a human flaw that needed straightening out. It simply means that he was perfectly equipped to save us. He fully experienced what it means to be human. He shared in our humanity. At Christmas time, we often read the words in John chapter 1. The Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. A modern translation I rather like, because it puts it this way. The Word Jesus became flesh and blood and moved into the neighbourhood. Jesus was not playing at being human, and like an actor, was going to step out from behind the mask. Jesus is perfectly, completely, and truly human. It's the meaning behind that other Christmas word that we use, Emmanuel. Emmanuel meaning God with us and God one of us. God stooping down, becoming one of us and sharing in our humanness. So that Jesus, the incarnate Son, would have the compassion to know that no joy or no sorrow that we go through is outside of his experience and his understanding. Our hope isn't in an ideology. Our hope as people is in the person of Jesus Christ. And whilst Jesus came to be as truly human as us, the verses in Hebrews also say, he, Jesus, is the radiance of the Father's glory and the exact representation of God's being. Sometimes people think of God a bit like the Wizard of Oz. Jesus is the attractive face of God, but it's a facade, and behind it lurks a grumpy old man. Well, nothing could be further from the truth. The unity of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Spirit, means that when we see God in Christ, we are not seeing a mask or a front. Jesus is the perfect Word of God, the image of God, because Jesus is God. To see the Son is to see the Father. The Father and the Son are one being. Jesus really is what God the Father's like. To believe in the Son and his resurrection, his life-giving forgiveness, is to be in union with Christ and to be loved by the Father. In the same way as the Father, the Son, and the Spirit all love and relate to one another. As Christians, Jesus asks that we imitate him. We do the will of the Father, just as he did. And we receive his grace and his mercy to do just that. He wants us to allow him to transform us so that our mind and our message become a revelation of God's love too. He knows our feeble frame. He asks that we stay in communion with him, in communication with him. He created us, he knows us, and he longs for us to have life in all its fullness and become more like his Son, be transformed by his grace. Charles Wesley. Charles Wesley summarizes the Father's love for us through sending his Son when he writes the words of the hymn that we will sing later, Love Divine. Love Divine, God's love for us is excelling all other loves. His joy, Jesus came to earth from heaven, a personal encounter, a face-to-face revelation. Listen to the opening words again. Love divine, all loves excelling, joy of heaven, to earth come down. Amen. Let's pray together as we reflect upon that. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are a God who speaks. A God who has spoken to our forefathers and continues to speak to us today. But you came in the person of your Son, Jesus Christ, to be one of us and one with us. May we gaze upon Jesus in order that each one of us might become the person that you have created us to be. For it's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.